But that's the family illness of alcoholism. That's what it looks like. I mean, the whole house, you know, is just on pins and needles. And nobody talks about it. It's all secret stuff. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to get up the next day and just move on as if nothing happened. And the whole dynamics of the family get really, really sick.
Well, hello, friends of Bill W. and other friends. You have landed on Sober Speak. My name is John M. I am an alcoholic, and we are glad you are all here, especially newcomers. Newcomers, that is, both to recovery as a whole and newcomers to this podcast. Sober Speak is a podcast about recovery centered around the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. My job here on Sober Speak is simple. My job is to provide a platform to the amazing stories of recovery all around us. Consider Sober Speak, if you will, your meeting between meetings. Please remember, we do not speak for AA or any 12-step community. We represent only ourselves. We are here to share our experience, strength, and hope with those who wish to come along for the ride. Take what you want and leave the rest at the curb for the trash man to pick up. Greetings from Studio AA, deep in the heart of Texas. Alas, everybody, we meet again. That was the voice of Mr. Cliff G that you heard at the beginning of this here episode number 334, and you are going to hear so much more from both him and Lori G on this episode, Cliff and Lori, the family afterward, part one, and I'll explain all that in just a moment. But first things first, this here episode is brought to you by, this episode is made possible by, I like to say nowadays, Kim, Kate, Marie, and Michelle. And what you may ask, did Kim, Kate, Marie, and Michelle do? Well, they do. Oh, man, I can't talk today. Let me just tell you what's going on. I just went to dinner with the lovely Mrs. M, and we came back. And on the way back from dinner, we stopped at a local donut shop. And I ate one of these big, what is it called? Salted caramel donuts, and then part of an apple fritter. And I'm trying my best to keep my energy intact right now, but believe that thing just kind of weighed me down. But anyway, these wonderful people went to our website, www.soberspeak.com. They clicked on the little yellow donate tab, and they made a contribution. So thank you so much, Kim, Kate, Marie, and Michelle. We are so thankful for your generosity. If the rest of you are out there, well, everybody, I guess, if you're out there and you're feeling restless, irritable, and discontent, we are here to help you get back on the beam, and we're so glad you have joined us. So, this just came to mind. I was thinking of during the week that I can tell what my emotional state is and how sensitive I am and what a little cupcake I am being or have been by how I react to certain television shows and to certain songs. Like, for example, I have told you in the past that sometimes when that show called Celebrity Boss, Undercover Boss, excuse me. And if you're in other countries, you may not know what in the heck this is, but there's a show called Undercover Boss. And when it comes on and at the end, they make these employees' lives real happy. It's a whole thing. And I can tell if I'm in a sensitive kind of mood by if I start bawling when that comes on. But I also noticed that this week a song came on a song came on this time, not a show, and the same thing happened to me in my life, and it was that song by Christine Aguilera, I think is how you pronounce her last name. And it's that one that goes, you know, oh, we are beautiful and everywhere we can, or, you know, or I am beautiful. Words can bring me down, you know, just that song. And for whatever reason, there are certain songs that will bring me to tears if I am in a sensitive kind of mood. And that one happened to do it this week. All right. Enough of my nonsense. Let's get on to Cliff and Lori, part one of the family afterwards. So we recorded this event live in January of 2023 at the Grace Avenue United Methodist Church in Frisco, Texas. And I want to on the front end say, I want to thank all the volunteers who came together for this. The vast majority of them were from the Frisco Fourth Dimension Group, but there were others. The staff at Grace Avenue United Methodist Church, and Cliff and Lori especially, they drove down from Oklahoma City to be with us. And so I took the recording that we had. We were up there on stage with them for quite a while. And I'm going to split our time that we spent with Cliff and Lori into several episodes, four to be exact. So because here's the thing. One must manage or control, portion out, however you want to look at this, how much of Cliff and Lori is launched on the universe at one time, because they are so awesome. So we're gonna split this into four episodes, so you don't have to digest the entire live event that we had all at once. I'm probably gonna release, I don't know, one-ish or so episodes per month. In the first episode here, we are going to set the stage for the ugliness of alcoholism and how that manifests itself in a home and how that helped lead both of them to their bottom, and how Lori's son witnessed some of this ugliness and how sick the family can get. Now, we're just starting out here with episode one and the beginning of this to kind of show you, you know, what it was like. As we get into the other episodes, we'll talk about more of the solution. But once again, we just had such a great time with Cliff and Lori. They drove down from Oklahoma City, like I said, to be with us here in Frisco. We wanted to make this both the AA and Al-Anon event. So we had both Cliff and Lori come down, and they did a whole workshop for us, basically called The Family Afterwards. So I know you're going to enjoy this. And remember, we will have plenty of listener feedback at the end of this episode. Enjoy Cliff and Lori. Oh, and I forgot to add, because this was a live event, we were honored to have the musical genius of Miss Mary Lynn B. And you're going to hear her singing a couple of tunes here on the beginning of this episode.
All right, how's everyone doing tonight here? Hello? Welcome to Frisco. I'm glad you're all here. It's our first celebration of the new year. We've been working real hard to get this right. So grab your seat. It's Sober Speak Live. Celebrating life. Yeah, we're living right. And once we get to going, we don't want to stop. We're here to have fun. Cause not a glum life. No way! Well, let's hear it for all our volunteers. Without them, you know, we wouldn't be here. If you're a fan of the show, I'm sure you've heard. Take what you want and leave the rest at the curb. We're celebrating life. Yeah, we're living right. And once we get to going, we don't want to stop. We're here to have fun. Cause We're celebrating life. Yeah, we're living right. And once we get to going, we don't want to stop. We're here to have fun, cause we're not a glum lot. Right on. Okay. I'm so excited to be here tonight. I'm so glad that you guys are here. My name is Mary Lynn, and I am an alcoholic. Always like to feel welcome. And that's what's so special about tonight is, you know, everybody's welcome. You know, so if you're not an alcoholic, we also have a speaker tonight that is going to be talking from the Al-Anon program. So we very grateful to have both of them. They'll be coming in here in a minute and we'll be starting the traditional meeting. So I'm a singer-songwriter also. I think I'm a better recovering alcoholic than I am a songwriter. But, you know, whatever. We just do what we do, right? I have a CD that came out a while ago, but it seems to be having a rebirth. And I'm so excited for that and grateful for that. John has been such a great, has been so great at supporting all of this. And so I wrote this song. It's called In These Rooms. And I wrote it thinking about your home group, right? Like your home group is like so special. And I mean, any meeting that you walk into, it just feels so good once you can get into the room and you can sit down and you can just kind of like take a big breath, right? Like just kind of exhale into it. That was really the feelings that I had when I wrote this song. And so, like I said, this song is called In These Rooms. So let's see how it goes. If you go down to the corner, you'll find a building on the right. You will hear people laughing. They meet at 8 every night. And you can have a cup of coffee. You can sit down and relax. And when the meeting is over, they will say, keep coming back. In these rooms I've learned how to listen. In these rooms I've learned how to care. Step by step and day by day, I'm living life a new way. In these rooms I want to stay. Never thought this would happen. Was not expecting this at all. But I look forward to seeing those 12 traditions on the wall. And my mind starts to get quiet when someone reads chapter 5. And I thank God I'm with you. And I thank God I'm still alive. In these rooms I have learned how to let go. In these rooms I have learned to forgive. Step by step in And day by day, I'm living life a new way. In these rooms I won't stay. When I walk in, I feel right at home. In these rooms, I have learned about friendship. In these rooms, I have learned about love. Step by step, and day by day, I'm living life a new way. In these rooms I won't stay. In these rooms I won't stay.
So grateful to be here. We're going to get this party started. I would like to introduce my husband and Michael B. Would you like to come up here and start us off with the meeting tonight?
Good job, Mikey.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike and I'm an alcoholic. I love that song. I have all the words memorized and I sing it all the time. So I definitely love the rooms of AA. Okay, hello, friends of Bill W. and other friends. This is Sober Speak Live. My name is Mike, and I'm an alcoholic. To remind us of why we are here and to focus our thoughts on that purpose, we ask all who would care to join me in a moment of silent meditation, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, which means that anyone can attend. I guess with that, I think it's time to introduce the one and only John.
So I'm just here to introduce the speakers. These are the people that we really came out here for. If you would, all the way from Oklahoma City, please help me welcome Mr. Cliff G and Lori G. So come on up. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much again. They drove up here 3.5 hours from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And when we're done with this little shindig, they're going to be driving back again 3.5 hours to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And I am just very appreciative of the time that you guys have spent to come out here this evening. So, and the title of this particular event is The Family Afterward, right? We've done these things before with a bunch of alcoholics and no Al-Anons, but tonight we have a very special Al-Anon guest. Her name is Lori G. And then we have Cliff G as well. So first things first, I'm going to go ahead and have you guys introduce yourself. Why don't you give your sobriety date? And then Lori, I'd like you to talk about your recovery date, I believe you call it. So,
I'm Cliff. I'm a grateful alcoholic.
Hi, Cliff.
I'm sober since August the 15th, 2001 for that short amount of time. I'm as grateful as I know how to be.
And Lori?
Hey, everybody. My name is Lori G. My recovery date is July 1st, 2001. And I'm really grateful for that date. And I just want to point out that it's important, but that is 45 days longer than his sobriety.
Well, so explain that if you would. So everybody knows what a sobriety date is, but you have a recovery date, and not everybody may understand that. So why don't you go ahead and talk about that a little?
So in Al-Anon, and a lot of people call it their serenity date. I choose to call it my recovery date. And it's different, honestly, I think for Al-Anons. Some people, it's the day that you go to your first meeting. For other people, it's when they first started getting a sponsor and working the steps. And for other people, it's the day that they decided they were going to stay here, that they came to a meeting and they decided that they were going to stay here. July 1st happens to be the very first day that I went to a meeting, and I haven't left since. And I got a sponsor after that and started working the steps. So there's a joke going around that, you know, I don't know how Al-Anons can have a recovery date because they slip every day. And there may be some truth to that. But nonetheless, it's the day that we proclaim our recovery, or the day that we decide that we're going to be here.
I kind of want to start in the middle and then go a little bit backwards and then come a little bit forward. So, Cliff, I've heard you talk about it before and describing some of the brawls. I just want to make sure that people know that this is not easy, right? And what you guys have been through. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about some of those not so lovely times?
Well, we could talk about some of those in sobriety, not as bad as they were, but, you know, just because you get sober and everybody starts getting better doesn't mean you're going to have bumps in the road. And certainly that's been our case. But, you know, prior to coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, I mean, I was when I start drinking, you can move me around pretty easily. I'm a pretty, you know, you can maneuver me around. But when I'm not drinking, or when I'm coming off a drunk, or when I'm the kind of guy that I like to decorate my drinking with some imported materials from South America, and so when I'm in between those times, I'm very restless, irritable, and discontent. And there were probably times at our house that it resembled the WWE. I mean, there was not some really good ones. You know, Lori. And I don't want to steal her story because it's part of her story that she tells, but we would just, you know, it starts out, because I'm a really good, I interview well, I'm a good interviewer, and, I start really good. I'm a good starter. I look like good material, and, but somewhere in there, the spool starts to come undone. We begin to have some problems. Problems that, you know, when I didn't work, that's a problem. I just called it semi-retired, but, you know, like for the last 3 years of my drinking, I didn't work. I mean, I like to say I didn't work a lick. I mean, I worked a little. I had a place I called my office, but Lori was the breadwinner. I mean, I had mortgage payment, car payments, all the accoutrements, child support. She paid all that. You know, she was the one that was working. I like to kind of tell people that's the time I became a functioning alcoholic. I had a wife that worked. I was kind of a go-getter. I'd take her to work and go get her. That's what I would do. So, but in the middle of all that, I just had this, you know, increasing paranoia, delusional, and I became very hyper jealous. And I mean, it's ugly. I mean, alcoholism is ugly. And I remember she was one time I can't remember if we were at home or I think we were in a car maybe. But she was talking to, because she sold radio advertisement. Were we at home? She sold radio advertisement. And just when sports radio started taking off in the mid 90s, and she was the first female that sold sports radio. I remember just in these, you know, extraordinarily fits of just emotional upheavals, of just paranoia. And she was talking to one of her clients. And I remember just start barking at her, took her phone away from her and threw it against the wall. You know, she's got to call and explain this to these people. It's just, it's, alcoholism is ugly, and the family dynamics of alcoholism, because, you know, when you live in a home with active alcoholism, everybody gets sick. Everybody gets sick. Lori's sick and I'm sick. And on any given day, you could look in our house, however, or just a random, if you could rip the roof off and look in on any given day, you might look in there and think, well, Lori's the crazy one, because I might be passed out on the couch and she's crazy, you know? But in those lucid moments when, because when I'm drinking, I'm easy to maneuver around. I'm not much of a problem other than I don't do anything. But it's the in-between times. It's at the peaks of those restless, irritable disconnect, that spiritual malady that we have, that, man, it is so hyper accentuated for me. And we had those kind of moments. And Lori's got, she tells her story, and I don't certainly want to do that, but tell them the story about the really bad night.
So, he's right. I will tell you, if all that is true, I will tell you that, again, even though he would get crazy and we would have these horrible knockdown and drag out fats, do not think that it was all his fault. Let's just be clear here. I poked and prodded and I participated in every single bit of that. I knew what was going to happen when I started the argument. I knew what was going to happen when I asked the question, you know, because it's not going to change. It never changes. It's the same thing just in every single time. But on this particular night, what he's talking about is on this particular night, we got into a fight about something. And I'm going to tell you, I cannot tell you to this day what it was about. Obviously, it was extremely important at the time. Thought it would stay with me forever. I don't even think I remembered a week later, probably. But it was important this night. And we got into it. And, Cliff's not violent. He's never laid a hand on me. He's never, ever been violent around me ever. But when you put enough drugs and alcohol into somebody, things change and you never know what's going to happen. And this is the only time that it got violent. It's the only time it never happened before, hasn't happened since. And I don't know what it was about, but he, for some reason, grabbed me by my hair and was pulling me down the hall. And again, I am no victim here. I give just as good as I get. I grew up with a brother that was 6 years older than me, and we learned how to fight. And so he was pulling me and probably trying to slap at me or something, and I'm not slapping or scratching, I'm punching and kicking. And he's pulling me down the hall by my hair, and our son, who was about 8 years old at the time, walked out of his room and saw us. And of course, he's terrified and he's crying and he's screaming and, you know, stop and shaking. And I mean, he's horrified. He's scared to death. And, the only answer I had that night on that particular time is to go back in your room. Just go back in your room. And the reason why is because that's the only answer I have, because I don't know how to parent. I don't know how to be a good parent when alcoholism is alive and well in my home. And I don't know what to do in those situations. And so the only answer I have is go back in your room. And unfortunately, he did. He went back in his room, and the next day, we got up and we went about our day like nothing had ever happened. And, you know, nobody went to that little boy and said, you know, I'm really sorry that that happened last night, and you want to talk about that, or I know that you were scared, and I'm really sorry, and let me explain that to you. We just ignored it. We just ignored it and went on. That little boy is 30 years old today. Actually, he's 32, almost 32, I think. I always get it wrong. He knows I don't. Anyway, he's about 32. I'm still in denial. I still think he's 8. So, and I'm going to tell you, I don't even know that he remembers that night. I really don't. I really don't even know if he remembers that night. But I promise you, he remembers a lot of other things. And to this day, Cliff and I don't even fight anymore, which is really a miracle. But if we're just teasing in the car and he happens to be around, or we're at the house and we're teasing around and we start arguing, like play fighting, like just kidding around, he can't stand it. And he'll say, okay, that's enough. That's enough. Because he's scared to death that it's going to, because we leave an imprint. We leave an imprint no matter what. And I've made amends to that boy and I've done everything that I can do to make that right. But I promise you, he's still affected to this day.
Well, before you go, so, but remember when we did the birthday party and you pulled Colby aside and told him about that, because that's that is the family disease of alcoholism.
So when Cliff turned 3, had his 3rd year sobriety birthday, I decided I was going to have a little surprise party for him at the house. And I don't remember how old Colby was at the time. I could figure it in my head, but I don't do math. And so, but he was young. And he was probably, I don't know, 10, 12, something like that. And anyway, and so all these people were coming over to the house. Cliff, it was a surprise party for Cliff, and he didn't know these people were coming over. But that was the weekend that my son was there, and I said, listen, I need to explain something to you. You know, can I talk to you? And he said, sure. And so I said, listen, I said, you know, I know that you've noticed a difference between with Cliff and me, and I know that there's been some changes around the house, and I need to explain to you what was going on. Because I never had sat down and talked to him about it, and he didn't know Cliff was an alcoholic. He didn't know anything about that. And I said, have you noticed that things are better and we don't fight as much? And I mean, we were still fighting at the time, don't get me wrong, but not near as much and not near as bad. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I said, you know, Cliff used to drink a lot and he used to do some drugs. And I said, and that's was the basis of a lot of our fights and a lot of the problems that were going on here in the house. And I said, but he hasn't drank or done a drug in 3 years. And today we're celebrating that birthday here. And I want you to know that because there's going to be a lot of people here. And although we don't have secrets, you can't tell anybody. And because it's a program, you know, and I had to explain anonymous and all that. We went through the whole thing and he got it. And he's like, okay, I understand. And he goes, and I said, what? He goes, you know, I always wondered what was going on. I thought that I had done something wrong. And it killed me. Because for this whole time, he thought that the reason why we had all these fights, the reason why everybody was unhappy, the reason why he thought that he had done something wrong. He thought it was about him. He had no idea. And, you know, I hated Cliff when we first got together because he was my son from a previous marriage and he was only 4 years old when Cliff and I got together. And he hated Cliff. But I will tell you, when Cliff had his 10-year birthday, my son rode a motorcycle about how many miles? 115 miles to be at a meeting where they had an open meeting with Al-Anon participation. And he drove all the way down there so that he could be there for Cliff's celebration. And they called on him to talk. And my son said, you know, I used to hate Cliff. And he said, but now he's the man that I look to for guidance. And he's become the dad that I've always wanted and the parent that I've always wanted. And now I look up to him. And I love AA because you gave that to me. You gave him me. And he was the most proud person in the room. Of course, everybody in the room was crying. And but he did that. And he loves Cliff now. As a matter of fact, just so you know, on Mother's Day, I'm lucky if I get a text at 8 o'clock at night that says, Happy Mother's Day. But he will drive to the city to give Cliff a card and a gift. I don't know how that works. I birthed the boy.
We're like this, man. We're like this. But that's the family illness of alcoholism. That's what it looks like. I mean, the whole house, you know, is just on pins and needles and nobody talks about it. It's all secret stuff. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to get up the next day and just move on as if nothing happened. And the whole dynamics of the family get really, really sick. And those kids got really, really sick in the middle of all this because we're not talking about it. But it also, on the flip side, through the process of the steps and the amends process, that kind of good stuff started happening in our life. But we got to see where he was at, you know, 12 years old when he thought, this is all my fault. Everything that's happened here, the reason all this is happening is on me because, you know, he took on all that responsibility, which is a tough gig for a 10-year-old kid. It's a tough gig to take on responsibility for everything that's going wrong in the house. That every time I show up here, it's bad, it's got to be me. And so it's so that kind of turn, that kind of sets the table of what it looked like. I mean, just the dynamics of the household was in this constant state of uproar, as every alcoholic home is. It's every alcoholic home is.
Thank you once again, Cliff and Lori. And for all the listeners out there, remember, I talked about it on the front end, but we will have 4 episodes of Cliff and Lori from the family afterwards, and I will be releasing those episodes at a later date. You want to be sure to tune in for those future episodes. Now, on to a little bit of listener feedback. Jason writes in and he says, "Hi, John. I live in Peshtigo, Wisconsin." Hope I'm pronouncing that right. And he says, "And I have been sober for 8 weeks. Good for you, Jason. He says, "My home group is the Alano Club in Menominee. I found your podcast last week and I have listened to 9 episodes. I really enjoyed Jennifer HK. They are all worth listening to, which I do when I'm decompressing after work. I found you by searching for relevant podcasts on iHeart. Isn't it amazing how you find your quote higher power unquote when you make a little room by giving up the booze? Keep it up, John. Thank you, Jason K." Well, thank you, Jason. And once again, congratulations on those 8 weeks. And I'm glad that we can be a small part of your journey. Debbie writes in and Debbie says, "Hi, John. I live in Southern California. I have been in recovery for about 10 years and I finally, quote, got it, unquote, and I have gained about 15 months of continuous recovery now." Good for you, Debbie. She said, "I stumbled upon your website and I have listened to a few of the speakers now. I love it. I will be making a donation soon and I do appreciate all the work that you must put into it. Thank you." Well, Debbie, in terms of the donations, listen, if the spirit moves you and you want to, fantastic. If not, just keep listening and just keep growing. And I appreciate you tuning in. Carol writes in, and the subject line is Ricky R, episode number 287. She says, "Hi, John. I would love to have How to Take Somebody Through the Steps, part 2 in writing. I have been on your website and trying to get to the blog, but have not been successful. I am 69 and somewhat technically challenged. I am new to podcasts as well. I just tried to make you a donation also, but it didn't go through. I will try again. Thank you for any help you can provide, Carol K." Well, Carol, once again, just like the last listener, if you want to donate and you figure it out, fantastic. If not, no big deal. I just love you being part of this community. I think it's absolutely fantastic that you are 69, and I've already replied to you and talked about this, and you are still trying to pick up things technically, and the most important part is trying to enlarge your spiritual life and try to figure out how to be a better sponsor. That is absolutely fantastic. As you know, I sent you back the link to the article within our website that takes you to the PDF that you can download. And as I said in the article, I copied Ricky on the email and I just said, "Hey, if you have any other issues, you know, just let me know and we'll help you try to get through the technical issues there." But Carol K, that is absolutely fantastic. Alan posted in the super secret Facebook group. Oh, yes, I remember this. He posted, "I'm currently looking for a sponsor. What questions should I ask?" And the only reason I read that, I'm not going to read all, he got tons of responses. And the only reason I read that is just to say, hey, if you're in there and you want to post a question like that, you know, there's a lot of people in that group have a lot of sobriety, and even in the new sobriety, right? They have good input on questions like that. And I love it when people post questions like that and they get good, solid experience and feedback. Now, it can be a little confusing because if you get 60 responses, you're probably going to get 60 different viewpoints. But hey, you know, it's At least it'll give you something to digest. And I do remember this when I was first sober. Like, I would go to a meeting, actually. We didn't have Facebook at the time and all that kind of stuff. And I would bring up a topic, if I was chairing a meeting especially, I would bring up a topic like, say, anonymity or something like that. And as you go around the room and there were 10 people to share and you had 10 different opinions of what anonymity meant. So ultimately, though, for me, I had to kind of start praying. I praying to God and saying, God, what would you have me know about anonymity? And it would seem like he would point me in the right places at the right time and the right literature and kind of help to me to crystallize my own thoughts about anonymity. But anyway, I for whatever reason, I wanted to read what Alan posted in the Facebook group. And I appreciate you posting that, Alan. And I appreciate all the people who are responding to it. And if you're not in the Super Secret Facebook group and you would like to be, go to the Facebook application and search up Sober Speak Secret Group, ask for admission into the group, and we will get you in there. Oh, and if you are not following us on La Instagram, it is at Sober Speak, all one word. We would love for you to follow us on the gram. Now, Jacob posts in the Super Secret Facebook group. He said, I just want to shout out and say thanks for your podcast. I was recently in prison and I listened to your podcast most of the day on my tablet and really learned a lot about sobriety and gained lots of tools about sobriety and life on life's terms. So I just wanted to say thanks a lot, Jacob. That is so cool. Thank you for posting that in there. I remember reading that, and that just absolutely made my day. God bless you, my friend. Roland DMs, speaking of the Instagram, he direct messaged me on the Instagram, and he says, thank you, John. I've listened to almost every episode of your podcast these past few months. It has been a godsend in my recovery. Thank you, John M. Well, God bless you, Roland. I'm glad we're able to be there and you allow us to be a part of your life. And I say this all the time, but I know y'all have so many things you could be doing with your time. You could be watching trash TV like I do sometimes. You could be watching sports. You could be just so many different things, right? But you come here and you spend it with me and us and our guests, and it just means the world to me. Thank you. So that's what kind of gives me the get up and get them, or just gives me the motivation to move on and do these things once a week, and I appreciate it. Tim writes in and he says, "Hi, John. I might be just a wee bit alcoholic." And he's referencing another email that he had sent in another time. I'm sorry I bastardized that. Not bastardized. I tell you, it's that donut I ate. I am just sluggish. I can't eat a donut before I do one of these episodes again. But he says, I might be just a wee bit alcoholic is what he said there. But anyway, he said, I wrote to you a while back after I first started listening to the podcast to comment on how two episodes really touched my heart. So I decided to start listening to all the podcasts I missed. I went back to the beginning around the first of the year, and now I am up to January 31st of 2020 with your podcast. Does that sound like an addictive personality trait to you? Laugh out loud. He says, I'm writing now because I was listening to Jimmy D talk about the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, which I love hearing about. He mentioned the AA International Convention coming up in July of 2020, which, as we know, got canceled by COVID. That broke my heart when it was canceled. I had my flights, room, registration all paid, and I was looking forward to my fourth convention experience. I had been to Toronto in 2005, San Antonio in 2010. Hey, I was there. Who knows? We may have crossed paths the same, Tim. Who knows? And Atlanta in 2015. I also had volunteered at the conventions, and I was planning to do so in Detroit. Well, now I was hoping to go to, now I'm hoping to go to Vancouver next year and make it my retirement celebration. Fingers crossed. Well, that's enough for now. I love the podcast and the super secret Facebook, John, Facebook group, John. Please keep doing what you do. Oh, just a little feedback, he says. I enjoy the episodes where you are sitting with your, when where you are sitting with your guests, participating in the conversations much more than the recorded speaker talks. You bring a lot to the table when you're in the mix. Thanks for being part of my sobriety, Tim McBee, sober date, June 10th of 1985. June 10th? As you know, I'm sure that is the Founders Day for Alcoholics Anonymous. And so you get to celebrate your birthday when Alcoholics Anonymous is, as an organization is being celebrated, Tim McBee. But thank you very much. I appreciate you writing in. Dan S. writes in and he says, I heard your mention of my email just a couple days ago and I wanted to thank you. And just because, here are a couple links to songs that you have been mentioning. Oh, yeah, that's right. He wrote this. He says, they also run around in my brain along with the theme to Gilligan's Island. So he sent me the YouTube thing to Minnie the Moocher, which is where the one where I go, hidey, hidey, ho. And then he sent me the YouTube link to La Cucaracha, La Cucaracha, da, 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 La Cucaracha, da, da, da. Yes. And then what he likes is, and I've never sang this one before, is the Gilligan's Island theme song. Gilligan, the skipper too. Marianne, no. Mr. something and his wife, the movie star, a professor and Marianne here on Gilligan's Isle. Sorry, I had to ruin everybody's day for him. And then he goes on and he says, Dan says, seeing as now I am in my early 300s, catching up to the present time, this content is probably dated. Hope you have a great day, my friend. Keep on keeping on. Dan S. All right, everybody. That there, thank you, Dan S. That there is one more episode of a Sober Speak, number what, 334, right? Is that what I say? Yeah, 334 in the books, in the can, as they say. And we hope to be back next week. You never can tell. I take this one week at a time. Until then, keep coming back. It works if you work it. And may God bless you and keep you until then. Have a safe and sober day wherever you are out there listening. Bye-bye.